Once again, we do thank our brother for the kind words of welcome. And it is indeed a privilege to be here with you tonight and to fellowship with you in the things of God. We'd also like to thank the ladies of the church for their kindness to us today, for the hospitality and the good things we took part of earlier. And we'd like to thank the young people for helping out in the meeting tonight and for taking part in it. And I'd like to thank our brother for including me among the young people. He used to pick on me in college about being a little bit older than him, but it's good to be included amongst the young people this evening. We're going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we want just to read a few verses together from this portion of God's precious word. Very familiar passage, John's Gospel in the chapter 10. And we want to break into the chapter. We'll begin at verse 1 and just read on down to the verse 18 of this chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. A hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We know that God will bless his own precious word to our hearts tonight. Let's just still our hearts in a few moments of prayer, please. Our loving, eternal God, as we come aside into thy presence this evening, we come before you as those that are needy. Our Father God, as we come to look at thy precious word this evening, I ask and pray that we might know help from thyself. Lord, that thou would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that thou would give us that unction, that power that cometh from thee alone. And our Father, we pray that even as thy word is preached this evening, Lord, that thou would be pleased to take it and use it for thy honour and glory. Father, speak to our hearts. Challenge us afresh this evening, for it's in Christ's blessed name we ask all these things. Amen. The picture of the shepherd is one that is often used in the scripture. And in this chapter of John's Gospel, in chapter 10, there again the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings very readily to the listener's mind the picture of the shepherd. And as we read the ministry of the Lord Jesus, oftentimes he used the scenes that the people were familiar with. And for the Jews of those days, they were very familiar with the shepherd. As they travelled about in the land of Palestine, in the land of Israel, they could look on the hillsides and they could see the green veins of grass. There they could see the sheep grazing and the shepherd leading them. But you know, as we read the scriptures, we find that the Eastern shepherd, he's very different from the shepherd that we have in the Western countries. In the land of Britain, where I come from, I was brought up on a farm. You put the sheep into the field, and you wanted them out, you went in and you chased them out. But it's different in the Bible. The Bible shepherd was a man that led the sheep. One English writer, he was a traveller, and he said that as he was travelling through the land of Israel, he said he recognised a most remarkable thing. He said if the Eastern shepherd, he never drives them as our own shepherds do. Rather, he always walks at their head, leading them along the roads and over the hills to a new pasture. And as he goes, he would talk to them or sing to them. There's not too often today if you see the farmer that he's out singing to the sheep. So that's something that happened in the Eastern countries. The shepherd went ahead and he led them. And that's the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is presenting before them. This same writer, he was saying that one morning he was out around the area of Bethlehem and he saw in this cave the sheep coming out and there were two shepherds. And as he watched, the shepherds stood and they began to call the sheep by name and they each come out to their individual shepherd. And this again is a picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is painting before us here in this portion of Scripture. He speaks here of calling his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. But you know, this evening, for a few moments, I want to look at the Scripture. I want to bring before you the shepherds that we find. There are a number of different shepherds that are mentioned in the Bible. And as we look at them this evening, we want to draw certain truths from them. Because each one of them point us forward to that great shepherd, that good shepherd of whom the psalmist could write, the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we turn to the scriptures, the very first shepherd that we read of, he's found in the book of Genesis. He's named Abel, one of the sons of Adam and Eve. The scripture reveals to us there that those two sons that were born to them, one was Cain and the other was Abel. And as we read of Abel in Genesis chapter 4 in the verse 2, we're told there that this man was a keeper of sheep. His brother Cain was a tiller of the ground. So when we come to the Bible, the very opening book of the Bible, Genesis, it introduces you and I as readers to the very first shepherd. His name was Abel. Now we don't know why he became a shepherd. Perhaps as he watched the sheep and he saw their helpless nature, he saw perhaps how they needed someone to lead them and someone to take them to the place of fresh pastures. Perhaps that motivated him to become a shepherd. We don't know. As we look at the scriptures, it doesn't really tell us. Likewise, it doesn't identify just why Cain became a tiller of the ground. But yet the Bible tells us that they had two different occupations. And yet as we read of Cain and we read of Abel here in this passage of scripture, we find that the one thing they both knew, they have different occupations, they have common parents, but the one thing they both desired to do was to worship God. We see they come to the altar. Evidently, their parents, Adam and Eve, had taught them of the place of sacrifice. And as we read in Genesis chapter 4, we find there that Cain comes to the altar. And when Cain comes to the altar, he brings the produce of his hand, that which he has grown in the ground. But this man, Abel, is different. As we read of Abel in Genesis chapter 4, we find that as he comes to the altar, he brings of the flock. Genesis 4, verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see, here's two men, and as they come to the altar, they bring different things. Cain knows that when he comes to the place of sacrifice, he needs to bring that which is given to God. He needs to shed blood. You see, there's no sacrifice sufficient for sin. There's no atonement for sin if the blood is not shed. Cain brought what he produced in the ground. He brought the best crops that he had, the best produce that he had, but it wasn't acceptable before God because it had no blood. This man, Abel, he goes out to the field, and as he surveys his sheep, he picks out the best lamb that he's got, the best of the flock, and he determines, I'm giving that to God. And he brings of the firstling, he brings of the youngest, he brings of the best of his flock, and he presents it to the God of heaven. And you know, for you and I as God's people, there is a little challenge, there is a little lesson in that. As you and I as God's people seek to work for the Lord, do we bring before God the best that we have? Do we do the best? Do we give the best of our time? Do we give the best of our talents and our abilities? Do we give it on to the Lord? That's what Abel did. The best animal, the best lamb, the best of the flock, he took and he brought it to God. But you know, as Abel brings a sacrifice to the Lord, it is acceptable in the Lord's sight. That which Cain brought wasn't acceptable because it brought no blood. And maybe you're here tonight and you're unsaved. Maybe you don't realize the importance of the blood, but it is only the blood that can cleanse sins. The Bible tells us over in the New Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Cain knew what he ought to bring. He knew what God desired. He knew what was needful, and yet he brings something different. And when God rejected Cain's offering, he got angry. And why, as we read the opening verses of Genesis, just at chapter 4 of the beginning of the Word of God, there we see the first murder takes place. And you know what's very interesting? You listen to the philosophers and those that look at the crime rates in our land today, and they will often say, well, sometimes it's the environment that people are brought up in. Sometimes it's the background that they endured. But you know, when you look at Cain and Abel, they both lived in the same home. They both had the same opportunities. They both had the same privileges. But Cain rises up and he slays Abel. You see, at the back of crime, at the back of rebellion, at the back of disobedience against God is sin. You can put whatever slant you want on it, but ultimately it boils down to sin. That was what was in the heart of Cain. And he rises up and he slays his brother. He slays Abel, that innocent shepherd. And there he leaves him lying on the ground. And the Bible tells us that his blood is sprinkled upon the ground. You look at Genesis 4 in the verse 10. It says, and he said, what hast thou done? That's God speaking. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Here, as we look at this chapter of God's Word, we see a man that was a shepherd. We see the first shepherd that is mentioned in the Bible. This man called Abel, one who is spoken of over in Hebrews 11. And there he's described as a man of faith. Hebrews 11 and the verse 4 tells us, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. This man Abel, he comes to the altar. He presents that which is acceptable in the sight of God. But as we look at this chapter, we see here a shepherd that is slain. As we look at Abel, we see him lying there in the sand of that eastern country, and his blood is soaking into the ground. He is innocent. He has sought to be obedient to God. He has sought to do that which is required of God. And yet we see him murdered by his brother Cain. You know, we think of Abel. We think of the circumstances of this first home. And we look at Cain and we ask what motivated him. It was sin. We see the result of envy and jealousy here in this chapter of God's Word. But you know, as we think of this man Abel lying on the ground, as we think of him slain, does it not take our mind to the cross of Calvary? And there on that middle tree in Golgotha, we see another man. We see one who is innocent. We see one who was without guile. We see one who could not sin. And there he hangs and dies. There his precious blood is shed that you and I might have eternal life. You see in this first shepherd Abel, we see a picture. We see a foreshadowing. We see a looking forward to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That good shepherd, there on that middle tree of Calvary, he's innocent, he's sinless. Pilate, as he looks and examines him, he says, I find no fault in this man. But there he bled and died for you and I. Friend, tonight as you gather here in this meeting, you may look at Cain and Abel, and you may speak of Cain, how wicked and how cruel he was to slay his innocent brother. And yet we're reminded that it was our sins, your sins, my sins, that crucified our lovely Savior, put him to death on the cross of Calvary. You know what a thought that is this evening. The Bible teaches us that sin has consequences. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, we're told. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he died on the cross of Calvary, he took our place that we might have eternal life. But you know, as we read the scriptures, we find not only Abel mentioned, but we read of another shepherd. He was named Jacob. And I'm sure you're familiar with the account of Jacob, how as he grew up and his family, he fell out with his father Isaac, he fell out with his brother Esau. And as a result, he had to leave home. Jacob leaves, he goes to his father, to another part of the family, and there he sees a young girl and he desires that she would be his wife. He goes and works for Laban. Laban has two daughters, Rachel and Leah. And Jacob loves Rachel and he decides that he will work the 7 years to get this lady for his wife. He works the 7 years. Then when the time of the marriage comes, he is deceived. Laban brings him Leah instead of Rachel. And he has to work another 7 years for Rachel. And you know, you can imagine as you think of Jacob, he's bound to have been an angry man. You imagine that. Sweating blood and toiling day in and day out for 7 years for a wife and then to be deceived. And then to do it again to get the girl that you love. There's bound to have been bitterness in his heart. You would imagine that. And yet, you know, as we read the life of Jacob and as we read of Laban's communication with him, we find that Jacob was a man who was diligent. We could title him the diligent shepherd. You read Genesis 31, and whenever he determines to leave, Laban comes and speaks to him. And Jacob replies and he says, "This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Out of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes." You see, here Jacob could say to Laban, "I've worked for you for 14 years. Whatever there was of the flock that died, I paid for it out of my pocket. Whenever your goats died, I paid for that out of my pocket. You haven't been fair to me, Laban, but I've been diligent. I've been honest. I've sought to be straight with you. I've sought to take care of your flocks." Here was a man, he was a shepherd, and he cared for the flock. He had an interest in them. He loved the sheep. He loved the goats. And he tenderly and graciously cared and looked after them. But you know, as we look at Jacob again, we see a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that one who is the great shepherd. We see that one who cares for his people. You know, we think of those words of Psalm 23, those words that are so familiar. David could pen the words and could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What a thought that is. David could say of all of my life, there's nothing I needed, there's nothing I desired that God withheld from me. Nothing good did he withhold from this man. But you know, Christian, here tonight, God will withhold nothing good from you. Nothing that will enable you to grow in your Christian life. Nothing that will enable you to know more of your Savior. Whatever you need to go on with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will provide. He's diligent. He's a shepherd that cares. He's a shepherd that is interested in his people. You know, just as Jacob speaks of the flock, he would have been looking. He would have spotted the lamb, perhaps, that was a little bit lame, and he would have lifted it out of the flock and brought it back to the house and cared for its leg and for its feet. Maybe that lamb that was being a little bit neglected by the mother, he would have brought it in and got out the bottle and perhaps fed it. He was interested in the flock. And the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, interested in you. If you're saved by his grace and mercy tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, he's interested in his people. He desires to lead and to guide and to direct. He knows the anxieties of your heart. He knows the burdens that you carry. Yet he is one that cares. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, there's the verse 5, there's that little promise where he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And friend, in this meeting tonight, perhaps you're experiencing difficulty. Perhaps you're experiencing hardship. There's a little promise from the God of heaven. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, friends may forsake. Family may forsake. But the Lord Jesus Christ says never. I will not forsake my people. I will not neglect my people. I will not withhold that from them which is needful for their spiritual growth. The psalmist could write in Psalm 121, he could say, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. We look at the scriptures, we see Abel, the shepherd slayer. We look at Jacob and we see the shepherd that is diligent. And yet in both of them they are but a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one other shepherd that I want to bring to your attention. That is one that is well known, that is the shepherd David. My, as you and I think of David, our mind automatically goes to Goliath. It goes to that man that went down to the river and he picked those five stones, put one in his sling, and with the spin of his sling he smote Goliath. Brought him to the ground. That great giant. But you know, when you look at the life of David, he was a shepherd boy. 1 Samuel 17, there he reveals to you and I of how he looked after the sheep, how he cared for the lambs. 1 Samuel 17, he tells us there that he saw the lion, and the lion had in its mouth a little lamb. And David went after it. You know, if you or I had saw a lion, and it had a lamb in its mouth, you'd maybe say, well, it's only a lamb, it's not a grown ewe. It's not that important. That lamb, well, it hasn't really been doing that well. It hasn't been putting on weight, and it hasn't been thriving that well. It's not that important. I could do without it. But you know, David didn't do that. David went and he faced the lion, and from the lion's jaws he pried out this little lamb. It was precious to him. And you know, for you and I as God's people, the lambs are precious. The children of the congregation, the children in our homes, they are precious. My, there's an old devil outside. He's a roaring lion and he desires to get them. He desires to get our young people and to entice them into the sins of the world. He desires to take them away from the things of God. But you and I, as David did, we have a duty to go and to seek to draw them unto ourselves. We have a duty to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray for them, and to seek to lead them to the Lord Jesus. Here David had an interest in the lamb. You and I, as God's people, we ought to have a great interest in the lambs and in the youth of the flock. We ought to seek to point them and direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at these shepherds, we see David, that shepherd who protected. He was the one who protected the sheep from the lion and from the bear. And again, he's a picture of Christ. You see, Christ is one that protects you and I. The shorter catechism, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes him as a priest. It describes him as a prophet. It describes him as a king. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our king. He rules and subdues us. He rules over his people and he subdues his and our enemies. He's a protector. He protects his people. You read the passage in Job whereby the devil is desiring to put his hand upon Job. And he says of Job, God's servant, God, you've put a hedge of blood round about him. God protects you and I as his people. You see, we look at these shepherds. We see Abel, the shepherd slaying. We see Jacob, the diligent shepherd. We see David, the protecting shepherd. And they have each their individual high points. Those things that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we point at Christ, he is the great shepherd. He is all of these things together. He not only died for his people. He not only diligently cares for his people, but he protects them. You and I tonight can speak of that one who is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13 in the verse 20. There the writer calls the Lord Jesus Christ the great shepherd. Oh, David was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Abel was a shepherd. But there is one and only one great shepherd. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one of whom we were reading in John's Gospel in the chapter 10. He is the one that could say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And you know, friend, tonight as we think of this passage of Scripture, the question comes to my heart to ask of you, are you in the care of that good shepherd tonight? Can you say, yes, I'm in the family of God? Yes, I can look back to that time when I realized I was a sinner, when I realized that I had broken God's laws, when I realized I was born into this world as a sinner, and if I died as I was, I would perish in a lost hell. Yes, I've realized I need Christ. I've realized there's only one hope. There's only one way of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've come to that one, the Good Shepherd. And you've placed your life in His hand. Yes, we can look at the Bible and note these shepherds. But friend, the one you need to know, the one you need to meet with is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that chapter 10 gives us a warning. It speaks of the hireling. It speaks of that one who would claim to look after the sheep, and yet he's happy to let the lion take them. He's happy to let the bear take them. Verse 13 says that when the lion or the bear would come, the hireling fleeth. But there's one who never flees. There's one who is steadfast. There's one who is true. There is one who is faithful. There's one who protects his people. And that is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight, do you know him? Is he your Savior? Oh, you may have heard of him. You may have heard of the name Jesus. You may have read portions of the Bible and be familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say tonight, like David could, He's my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He leadeth me. He guideth me. I trust and pray that you can. As we look at these words in the Scripture, there are much in the lives of these shepherds that we can learn from as Christians, that we ought to be those that are diligent in the service of God, that we ought to be those that give the best that we can to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet the most important thing is to know Him as your own and personal Savior. We speak of that one who made himself of no reputation and died that we might have eternal life. That one who here in this passage tells us, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. God cares for his people. He provides for his people. He looks after his people. Do you know him tonight? I trust and pray this evening that if you know not Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will come and repent of your sin, that you would come to this great shepherd, and that you would be part of the fold of Christ, and that you would put yourself into his care and know him as your Lord and Savior. We trust and pray that God will bless these thoughts to each of your hearts this evening.